Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And it is once again time to talk a little Timberwolves basketball here on a Friday edition of The Scoop. We're joined, as always, by Dan Slabaugh of On the Prowl. Dan, happy Friday.
Thanks, Seth. I appreciate that. I'm actually in Minneapolis this weekend covering the Rays Twin Series. So, hang out in the Twin Cities this weekend. So it should be hopefully a fun next three games at Target Field. And, just kind of a nice little getaway for the summer.
Absolutely. Looking at what has been just a frantic free agency period and start to the summer league schedule, that's what we'll be focusing on mostly here today. Why don't we just start off? I wanted to get your reaction to the moves that the Wolves have made free agency-wise. They signed Derrick Rose, who finished the season with the Wolves last year. They signed him to a one-year deal to shore up the bench. They also brought back old friend Anthony Tolliver. So, Dan, let's start off with your reaction to those moves by the Wolves to help shore up the bench.
Well, if Rose can continue to play like he did last year in the playoffs, then the two moves will look great. Rose hit 7 of 10 three-pointers last year versus the Rockets in that series, and he was getting to the rim. He was actually playing pretty solid defense, and I think him and Tyus will make a decent enough offensive backcourt. I think defensively, they're a bit undersized for a backcourt for a 1 and 2. So Derrick Rose is, they got him on the veteran minimum, so there's not much risk there. If he doesn't pan out, then you can ride the pine. But if he does pan out, you get a solid bench player for $2 million. And then Anthony Tolliver, I really like that addition. He brings the seventh that last year he ranked seventh in NBA in the three-point percentage, around 5 three-pointers a game. So he's going to bring some much-needed three-point shooting to the Wolves and give Jeff Teague, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jimmy Butler, all those guys another threat to kick it out on the perimeter that can knock down trays. And furthermore, he plays the 3 and 4. He's got some versatility. He's 6'9". He's got long arms, and he can defend multiple positions. So, Anthony Tolliver is a really nice pickup. And I know Tom Thibodeau and Scott Lane have been trying to get him for a few years now, and they finally landed him. So, ditto. I think so far on those two additions, it's just, when you pay Jeff Teague $19 million per season and Todd Gibson $14 million per season, that really leaves you with not, in addition to, paying Andrew Wiggins the max money, Karl Anthony Towns the money of earning a number one overall pick, and Jimmy Butler $19 million a year, that really restricts your spending options. So, they did what they could, and I don't think the Wolfsons could really expect anything more from what's happened this offseason. And I think that free agency's been pretty solid for the Wolves so far, and it's definitely not been a downer. They've definitely done a good job in trying to shore up this bench. So they're being active. That's good.
Dan, I don't know how much chance you've had to watch any of the summer league games, but it appears as though the Timberwolves got themselves a couple of steals with their draft picks in Josh Okogie and Kata Bates-Diop, because some of the highlights that we've seen from the games from both of these players, holy cow, if it takes them a little while to contribute offensively, their defense is going to be there right from the get-go. How important is that for this bench unit to have those guys that can come in if the team needs a little bit more of a defensive presence on the court?
Well, can I ask this first? Are the Twins fielding the NBA Summer League team?
They could. They may be. We'll never know. Might have a better chance of that with than their current major league team, but that's another show entirely.
No, I mean, back to yours, Damon. You know, Josh Okogie and Kitta Bates-Diaz provide some great versatility for the Wolves, which is what Tom Thibodeau said. Something that they needed to improve on their rosters, versatility, guys that can defend multiple positions. They needed 3-and-D wings, and it looks like they got two of them with Josh Okogie and Kitta Bates-Diaz. So, and because, you know, they got Jop at 48 when he was projected to go in the first round, they essentially got two first-round picks, which is huge for money-restricted team. And, you know, I think so far in Summer League, I have only been able to watch one game. But, you know, it looks like those two are the real deal defensively. And they both have high motors. And they both have, you know, solid potential to be, you know, really nice two-way players. I think Jop's offensive game is a little bit more polished right now than Okogie. But Okogie's motor is just, it's nonstop. And then, you know, I think that's the nickname he's kind of gave himself is nonstop because of his nonstop motor. So, you know, the two have to work on their jump shot, but, you know, I'd rather have, personally, you know, I'd rather have a young guy be polished defensively and see the work ethic and fire and urge to be really good defensively and have a shot develop, you know, in a year or two rather than, you know, have a guy who's really offensive concentrated and is just more of a stat patter on that end. So these two guys have great mental makeups, physical makeups, and because of that, they could turn into be, down the road, they could turn into be game changers for the Wolves. You know, two guys that they got for cheap in a league where defending the perimeter has become so crucial because of the multitude of threes launched every game. And so Okogie and Jop's, you know, their length on the perimeter is going to help in that area. And I'm excited to see how many minutes they get this year, but they should definitely, you know, I think both of them should get some minutes at some point. I'm not, you know, who wins out between the two getting minutes, you know, at the three or the four, you know, will be decided probably in training camp. Jop, you know, is a little bit more versatile because he can play the 3 and 4, which is maybe a little bit more of a need. And Okogie is more of a 2 or a 3. And so, you know, whoever won out, you know, whoever wins the minutes, you know, in training camp, well, it won't be a huge surprise, and I think both of them have really nice upside. So, you know, both of them are going to get their minutes. They're going to, you know, I know the narrative is that Thibs isn't going to play as rookies, but I don't think Thibs is going to have either of the two ride the pine. They're going to get experience, you know, and I think they know how important those two guys, those two cheap young wings, can be to the team and for the present and the future.
Dan, in terms of just looking at what the team needs to fill out the rest of the offseason, is it in your mind a priority for them to add another shooter, given that they will have a couple guys off the bench who likely will struggle a little bit as rookies to find their shot? Does it make sense for them to try to add somebody who could add some pure offense off the bench as well?
It's a really good question because right now you have Tyus Jones as the backup point guard, Derrick Rose the backup shooting guard, and then the backup power forward, Anthony Tolliver, and then either Gorgui Jang or Justin Patton will be backing up Karl-Anthony Towns at the 5. And so that leaves the backup small forward position to be filled. And, you know, and that's why, you know, they drafted Josh Okogie, and they drafted Kitta Bates-Diaz. So either of those two could, be trusted, I believe, to try, you know, that you can try it out on the court and give you capable quality minutes on the court. At the same time, the Wolves are still in need of shooting, so I think if you can get somebody like a Nick Young, who would be, you know, who you can plug on the court and he could provide some perimeter shooting for you, or would also be fine, you know, riding the pine if Okogie and Jop show out and prove that they deserve NBA minutes from day one. I think that's really the ideal player, someone who is will be satisfied, who will be content on the bench, or someone that you can plug in and give you some nice offense perimeter shooting. And I know someone like that might be hard to find. At this point, I think that would be okay. I think that would open up some opportunities for, you know, Okogie and Jop to get their feet wet and, showcase their skills and just develop and improve on the court. And so, I think I think the worst case scenario is like getting someone who completely blocks Okogie and Jop's minutes, because getting those two the opportunity to improve their game, improve their shot, and just getting them floor time it will be very important for the Wolves' future, and they need to they need to make sure they do everything they can to have give those guys the opportunity to reach their ceiling. So, and that starts in year one. And so, the ideal signing would be someone who can offer perimeter shooting, but is content and has a good attitude on the bench if he doesn't get minutes. So. That's kind of my take on what the rest of the offseason can bring.
Dan, we of course haven't had a chance to talk free agency really at all, with the show taking a 4th of July break last week. We saw a lot of big names changing addresses. LeBron James going to the Lakers. We saw Paul George and Chris Paul stay with with their respective teams. We did also see DeMarcus Cousins sign with the Golden State Warriors, 1 year, $5.3 million. This caused quite the uproar on Twitter, myself included. Was that the most surprising move of the offseason? And how was Golden State able to swing that to bring in a guy like Cousins, despite all of the big salaries they already have?
Well, you see, the Warriors ruined the NBA once, and then they just did it again. the reason they were able to do that is because Kevin Durant took $5 million less than he could have, and then they used that, money to grab Cousins, who had other offers on the table. I believe he had 2 years, $40 million on the table. In New Orleans, and then I believe he had another offer in Boston, but he chose to go win a championship in Golden State. And yes, I do believe this the acquisition, him going to Golden State, has been overhyped and overblown a little. Achilles injuries are incredibly tough coming back from, and not many at all have fully came back and looked like the player they once were. It's a really devastating injury. It's probably worse than the ACL injury. So he's not going to be ready until January, February. Obviously the Warriors don't care. All that matters is that he's ready in March, April, and May, and hopefully June for them, I guess. So yeah, I think obviously the move, if Cousins can get back to where he was and, you know, gel in the system, then I don't think they won't lose a playoff game, that's for sure. And if he can't, then I think maybe Boston could give them a run for their money. Maybe Houston. But Houston hasn't had a great offseason either. They lost Trevor Ariza, and they haven't been able to quite re-sign their center, Clint Capella. He's still on the market, and while he is expected to return to Houston, it's not a guarantee, and considering he probably can fetch more money elsewhere. So, you know, Houston is in a position where, you know, it's tough because last year they were playing Golden State with Andre Iguodala, one of their best defenders hurt, and they just couldn't, you know, and then they were up 3-2 in the series. They couldn't quite close it out because of the injury to Chris Paul and, you know, Luka Mbamute getting hurt right before the playoffs started. Those two were killers for their Rockets, and you know, when you know to be the Golden State Warriors, you have to have everything go right, and it just didn't. And so you know, it's kind of if I'm a Rockets fan, I'm disappointed, and I'm not saying they're not going to win 55 plus games next year or 60 plus, but you know, Trevor Ariza is a reasonably large loss, and it'll be interesting to see if they go after Carmelo Anthony now. I reports have stated that they are interested in Carmelo. I do not like that move, as Carmelo seems like a ball stopper, and I don't think Carmelo actually makes a team better, rather than caring about his own individual glory. And I know I'm probably spitting out some hot takes right now, but I don't think Carmelo Anthony would make the Rockets a better basketball team. But overall, I think the off season has been eventful, but uneventful in the way as you've seen Chris Paul return to the Rockets, and then, you know, Kawhi Leonard hasn't been moved. I mean, LeBron went to the Lakers, which was an anticipated move, I would say. But otherwise, I don't think the off season has, I don't think it's been one for the ages. It's definitely been, you know, quite interesting, and you know, moves like Cousins really to the Warriors shocked everyone. Otherwise, I don't think you know the top tier teams. I still think the top tier teams are from last year are going to be the top tier teams again next year. I don't think you see us so much moving around as far as the parity factor in the NBA. So we'll see what happens. And I mean, I think that the Wolves have set themselves up to be a top four seed again next season.
Dan, you look at the Western Conference, and this is more just spitballing here. I don't know if this will even lead to a question, but I just wanted to kind of run down the names in the Western Conference of teams that should be competitive for a playoff spot. Of course, you've got Golden State, Houston, you've got the Jazz, you've got the Wolves, you've got Portland, you've got Oklahoma City, you've got the Lakers with LeBron James, you've got the Pelicans with Anthony Davis, and you've got the Nuggets, although the Nuggets having kind of a weird offseason considering the moves that they've made recently. But the main moral of the story here, as we kind of start to wrap up for today, there's going to be no shortage of teams competing in the Western Conference. So it is. It's going to be really important for the Wolves to get off to a strong start and to keep everybody healthy so that they can be one of those top teams with what should be a very competitive playoff field.
Oh, absolutely, Seth. You couldn't have nailed it better. It's going to be a bloodbath. And, you know, while frustrating that is, considering, you know, there's another conference where there's probably four teams in the East better than Western Conference playoff teams. It does make for a fun regular season. Every night you're going to play a Western Conference potential playoff contender, and which makes it really fun. It makes it a fun regular season. And I mean, who are we kidding? You know, when we get to the playoffs, I mean, I don't want to say it's a foregone conclusion that the Warriors are going to win next year, but it's looking likely considering, you know, I don't think anybody in the West really got better enough to the point where they can challenge Golden State. And so, I don't think Golden State's really shown anything that can tell us that they won't win a finals next year. Obviously Houston made a great challenge for them this past season, but I mean, it's going to be a bloodbath, and so that just makes for a really fun, intriguing, exciting regular season. And as an NBA fan who is not the Golden State, who's not fans of the Golden State Warriors, that's really all you can ask for.
Dan, as we wrap up for today, getting through this quiet period in the off season, and I teased a little bit something that I've been working on for On the Prowl, in just talking about all those Western Conference playoff teams. Anything else content-wise that listeners can look for over at On the Prowl?
Well, we're kind of reaching the dog days of the off season. You know, I think if the Wolves make any other moves in free agency, we'll definitely be on the coverage for that. But as of now, we're kind of just riding the waves and waiting for the next move or the next big thing to happen in the NBA. But the next thing that will be coming out is your piece, Seth. So it's kind of where we're at right now with On the Prowl, and just riding the dog days of the NBA offseason out.
Excellent. Well, Dan, thanks for joining the show here today to talk a little bit about how the Wolves have done in free agency and some promising starts to the NBA careers of the young rookies for the Wolves as well. We'll see how things play out here. Maybe we'll get some big news NBA-wise. But regardless, if it's a quiet week or a busy one, we'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Seth.